Hello, my name is Vinay Badwar from West Virginia University in Morgantown, West Virginia, and I'm joined by my esteemed colleagues here at the SDS annual meeting to discuss this important roundtable on mentorship. And to help with this discussion and this roundtable, to my left, David O'Dell from Northwestern University, Shauna Blockman from Mayo Clinic, and Melanie Edwards from St. Louis University. Each of these esteemed colleagues are experts or authorities in mentorship, and I want to discuss a little bit of why it's important for the Society of Thoracic Surgeons to have mentorship as a primary focus, and some of the things that we're doing as a society to promote mentorship, and maybe discuss a little bit about defining the relationship between a mentor and a mentee as we have this roundtable discussion. So Shauna, can you tell us a little bit about why this is such an important and timely issue to discuss for the STS?
So the STS is very interested in achieving many different goals, and one of those goals is promoting all of the young people coming through the pipeline to everyone to have the best chance they can to do amazing things within the organization. We want more diversity, we want more women, we want more opportunity, and in order to achieve that goal, you have to have good mentorship. When I was a young resident, I remember coming out and having people offer to mentor me, and I wasn't really sure what that meant. That wasn't very structured. And then as I got older, people that hadn't even trained me were able to mentor me. For an example, Tommy D'Amico invited me to teach a course with him and then offered me to go to his master's course. And so I think it's important to look at the difference between mentorship and sponsorship. You can have mentors, but you also need sponsors. And STS, I think, has the goal of doing both, to get the future out there and help them to become the mature surgeons that they can be.
We're not that old. So I know you said when you were younger.
Well, I actually I am older than you know.
All right. Well, Melanie, why don't you tell us a little bit about why mentorship is so important to you and your growth, and what kind of things that you would see as, because you've been a mentor to other mentees, and what you've learned in this process.
Yeah, that's an excellent question, and I think you raise a good point initially in the relationship of being a mentee and a mentor, because at any step that you're at, there's always someone behind you who wants to be where you are. So if you're a medical student, there are undergraduate students who want to get into medical school, residents, they're medical students, and so I think that's an important part of this process because it allows you to really understand what that give and take is between a mentor and a mentee. As you then seek to develop mentorship relationships with people who you think would be able to help you. It's been critically important to me, and I think it probably is the one major, probably the single most important thing that has helped me to develop in my career as a surgeon. Dave and Odella and I trained at the same general surgery program, and you know, we hearken back to mentors who got us interested in the field of general thoracic surgery and fostered our entry into the field or interest, and that's where it all started, and it has developed since then. From an example of who you want to be as a surgeon to providing you with the advice for these are the steps and things that you need to do depending on where you want to go, if it's academics or leadership or private practice or a combination of both. So it's been critical for me, and I'm very appreciative to the help that I've gotten.
So the Society of Thoracic Surgeons has established a workforce on career development, and that's target is really for the surgeons and colleagues that are within their first 7 years of practice. It's complementary to our efforts on resident education and complementary also to our efforts on practice management, but it fills this gap on helping to define mentorship and provide an access point for every member and even candidate members to seek opportunities to maybe connect with other mentors or to facilitate one's development. Dave, I mean, one of the things in the Harvard Business Review recently, they defined mentorship as being discipline agnostic. And why is that important to you? And within this workforce, how do you think we can shape mentorship?
I think that as has been mentioned, mentorship is a critically important part of our professional development. But I think that, you know, the nuts and bolts of it sometimes are very hard to define. And I think that we have to think of mentorship not only as a one-way street, but as a two-way street. So a big part of our goal as a workforce is to try to help both mentors and mentees maximize these relationships. And that spans from helping people find the connections that they need in order to get the advice that they're looking for in order to be successful, but also to help them maximize the interaction. You know, how do you interact with a mentor outside of times of crisis, right? How are you proactive as a mentee? As a mentor, how do you prioritize time with your mentee and those interactions, whether they be in person or over the phone or by email? And I think we're trying to redefine what we think of traditionally as surgical mentorship, meaning sitting in an office or an operating room with your mentor and broadening that global reach of mentorship within the society.
And you know, when I mentioned discipline agnostic, you know, in the world of finance and business, mentors, if you're an accountant or you're a business executive, you have the same coach. You have this, or different coaches. And it doesn't have to be necessarily one mentor. It can be one mentor to discuss one aspect of your practice, another mentor to discuss another. Shonda, I'm sure you've been a mentor to more than just a thoracic surgeon, but cardiac surgeons, congenital surgeons. Tell us a little bit about your experience with discipline agnosia.
I think some of the best mentors for me have been people who've helped me along in parts of my career that I didn't even realize I needed skills in. Lynn Schroth is a woman who used to be CEO of a hospital in Houston and then a different hospital, and she taught a program called Academic Department Leadership. That's acquiring skills that you need that you never got training in med school, and how to read a P&L sheet, how to lead a department, how to work with an administrator, how to work with your co-faculty. Some of those skills as you move along through your career are extremely important. So I would encourage people not just to reach out to mentors within their specialty, but really the mentors outside the specialty that help you acquire those skills that make you a better person for your whole division, for your practice, for your hospital, and for your specialty, and most importantly for your patients.
If you poll surgeons, but also any business people in their first 2 to 3 years out in the actual world of practice, most people say that what they learn in their training or in early onboarding of any practice is only about 20% to 30% of what they really need to do their work. And so having the maximum amount of mentors in different disciplines becomes important. Within the STS, we've now initiated an enterprise that David O'Dell is leading that will hopefully shape a mechanism of where mentees, no matter what discipline, can access, facilitated by STS perhaps, we hope to see this sometime in the near future, a slew of different mentors to ask very specific questions. David, you want to comment a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, as Shonda said, it's really important to have not a mentor, but a team of mentors and people that can offer you insight and advice into various aspects of your professional development. Those people may not all be locally available to an individual surgeon. And our goal with this project is to create somewhat of a panel of mentors that surgeons can come to the STS and say, I'd like to have some guidance in developing my leadership skills, or I'd like to have some guidance in, you know, how to get healthier, how to get better balance in my life. And our goal is to create a panel of experts that self-identify as having expertise in one of these various areas of mentorship, and to act as somewhat of an honest broker to put people together with kind of common interests or needs, and allow those relationships to grow organically.
So let's maybe just talk about defining the roles of a mentor and a mentee a little bit, because when we create this, which hopefully will come very soon to all members, we have to maybe define what the rules of engagement of a mentee and a mentor are. Sometimes if a mentee, say, comes ill-prepared or doesn't even know or shy and demure and says, help me, and the mentor is left to try to figure this out. But we do need to have some direction. And the same token, the mentors have to have the real thoughts and goals of the mentee in mind, yeah, not the individual. And you can't promote your own agenda or go through the mentee to do so. So can you talk about a little bit, you know, maybe Melanie, what is the definition of a really good mentee? And so when you're seeking mentorship, what for the surgeons partners that are out there now, let's say, give an example, that they're 2 years into their new assignment and they are in a practice with three surgeons and no one's really supporting them, and they're left lost and they're looking what to do and they can't ask their own partners, yeah, and they don't really have a mentor. So what could that person, how can we really direct that person to seek help?
So that's a great question and a great point to emphasize. One is for the mentee is to really do a critical analysis of your situation first. Or instincts are to run for help, but you really need to sit down and as much as you can on your own, identify where you are, what the issues are that are maybe barriers to moving forward and potential solutions, and then your mentors can help direct you as opposed to starting with a blank slate and having to create for you the solutions. And so I find that mentorship is more helpful when I'm, you know, presenting, you know, I've got three options and my mentor knows me and they think, based on what I know, I think this is the way, rather than this is the situation, please help me. So I think a little background work on the mentee's part will go a long way.
That's an excellent point. You know, part of the issues of being a mentor is bringing to bear your experience from different aspects. And John, you mentioned about, you know, the corporate side and some of us delve into those areas. But a mentor needs to really keep the goals of that mentee as the top priority. So can you maybe frame for some of our members that will become mentors, there already are mentors, but they really want to give back to the specialty, kind of frame sort of what they should be achieving and what kind of rules they should be following?
So I think you can engage as a mentor in a variety of different ways. One way is by letting other people into your life to see what it's like to make that decision. Could I be a mother and a surgeon and have home work-life balance? I try to open my life up as much as I feel comfortable to let people see what that's like, because I think it's important for women to consider engaging in a career in cardiothoracic surgery, and I think we as a specialty benefit from attracting those people. I think it's also really important as a mentor and a mentee to be willing to call each other on things. When you engage in a relationship, a mentor-mentee relationship, it's not always easy and it's not always pleasant. And probably some of the best relationships that I've had that are like that are, for example, Mark Allen has mentored me since I've come to Mayo. And he constantly calls me on things and says, you know, that was a terrible draft of your paper, or you need to communicate better in this area. And so when you ask for a mentor, be willing to open up your ears, be humble, and be self-critical. Don't just expect when you acquire a mentor for them to become your number one cheerleader. And sometimes it might make your heart a little, your life a little bit harder, but better. So I think, you know, when we start thinking about how we're going to mentor, it can be by social media, it can be through the career workforce development group, it can be through unofficial pathways, through the scholarships. We have so many avenues to mentor, but just be prepared for a little work, like Melanie said, and I think be prepared to hear some difficult things. If you want to grow, it hurts. There's no birth of consciousness without pain.
That's right. There you go. There's a quote. So, you know, one of the aspects of being a mentor also is to make sure you guide them, but without getting them into trouble.
Yeah.
And sometimes you can have an opinion as a mentor, but you have to really understand what the ramifications of your recommendations might be. And part of our goals is we don't want to get a potential mentee into a real bad bind and it backfires. So we have to be very cautious about that sometimes and provide options as opposed to this is definitely the direction, but also be somewhat firm and avoid a mentee getting into trouble. So, David, you know, I know you're early in your career and we've had something like this kind of mentor-mentee relationship in the past, but how has guidance and options helped you?
Well, I think for me personally, having an understanding and the ability to kind of reality test your situation with someone who perhaps has a little bit more of an arm's length perspective on what you're dealing with is probably the most important thing. It's very easy to kind of get sucked into your own little world and, you know, then suddenly realize that you can't find a way out of it in your own mind. So to have someone who can help you kind of think a little bit more clearly about your own situation is in and of itself of great value. I think also, to go back to the prior discussion, the ability to have multiple people do that becomes even more valuable. And I think this is one of those ways in which you can avoid walking yourself into trouble, is to not just take your own opinion or one mentor's opinion, but to kind of gather a consensus from a larger group of people that you trust. And that can be really, really valuable in making those decisions, especially early in your career.
Tremendous points. So, as a mentee, come prepared.
Yes.
Be engaged, be curious, follow through.
Yeah.
Be on time.
Absolutely.
And as a mentor, encourage other mentors. Don't necessarily, you know, only say that this is my way or the highway. Encourage the mentee to get more opinions and diverse opinions. But also be careful of what your recommendations are. Is that a good summary of where we are?
I think that's an excellent summary.
So I think one of our goals of the Workforce and Career Development and a mentorship task force, which David is chairing, is to really help put this all together as an access point for all of our early career colleagues, whether that be you be in training or actually be in the first 7 years or even beyond. It's just a resource that we hope to propagate and help every one of our STS members to do so. And it's a collaboration for members older that want to become mentors and those that are seeking mentorship itself. So with that, thank you for your attention and participation in this roundtable here from the STS annual meeting in Fort Lauderdale.